Hare Krishna. Today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 17, Text 51. यदृच्छया उपपन्नेन शुक्लेन उपरञ्जितवा धनेनैपिदयान्भृत्याम् न्यायेन एव अहरेत् क्रतुम्. यदृच्छया without endeavor, upapannena, which is acquired, shuklena, by one's honest occupation, uparjitena, acquired, va, or, dhanena, with money, apidayan, not subjecting to discomfort, bhrityan, dependence, nyayena, properly, eva, indeed, aharet, one should perform, kratun, sacrifices and other religious ceremonies. Translation. A householder should comfortably maintain his dependence. Maybe you can repeat. A householder should comfortably maintain his dependence either with money that comes of its own accord or with that gathered by honest execution of one's duties. According to one's means, one should perform sacrifices and other religious ceremonies. Purport. There's a one-liner. The Lord here describes the religious duties that are to be performed as far as possible, according to one's means and when there is opportunity. I repeat. The Lord here describes the religious duties that are to be performed as far as possible according to one's means and when there is opportunity. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
I feel like a cricket player who has just graduated from, you know, playing domestic level to international level. So there are two feelings that I am having right now, because I am little bit nervous today. The expectations are very high in this room that Devamrita Swami was going to give a class, and I was myself sitting in the front row, and then I heard that it was a rumor. So I can imagine the disappointment in all your minds. So that is why I am nervous. So I just hope that I am able to do some justice to all of your time and attention today. But at the same time, I also have the advantage of playing on home ground today, because thankfully the verse is on Grihastha Ashram. So Lord Krishna in this chapter, which is called as description of the Varnashrama system, Lord Krishna is having this samvad or conversation with his dear disciple Uddhava. So Lord Krishna in this conversation, he has thus far covered principles related to brahmacharya, principles related to brahmacharya. What is the next ashram? Grihastha ashram is being covered right now. Vanaprastha and sannyas are going to come in the next chapter, which is chapter number 18. And as regards the other varnas, the Lord has already covered Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra in the previous verses. So today's verse is going to be on Grihastha Ashram. In fact, not only today's verse, I think the verses starting from now till the end of the chapter are all pertaining to Grihastha Ashram or householder life. But the brahmacharis need not be disappointed because the principles are still the same. And that's something which we are going to establish today. So, the Srimad Bhagavatam time and again reminds us in one sense of the universality of the practice of devotion. Devotional life is not the forte of any one varna or any one ashrama. In Bhagavad Gita 9.2, there is a verse where Lord Krishna talks about, I don't know the full verse, but maybe the children, Bhagavad Gita students can tell me. Striyo Vaishya Satha Shudras. There is one verse, 9.32. Anyone knows the full verse? You can recite. Yeah. Not that one. This is different. This is Striyo Vaishyas Tatha Shudras, and I think the next Tape Gantim Param Gatim, something like that. Right? Yeah. So essentially, Lord Krishna is saying in that verse, O son of Pritha, 9.32 this is, O son of Pritha, those who take shelter in me, though they may be of lower birth, women, Vaishyas and Shudras, they can all attain the supreme destination. So therefore, here, Lord Krishna, even in Bhagavad Gita, has established the universality of the practice of devotion. Thus, we can always safely say that Grihastha Ashram is considered as good as any other ashram within the domain of bhakti. Srimad Bhagavatam time and again reminds us again that the ultimate goal of Varnashrama Dharma is to attain devotion. And this is drilled in several sections of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The whole idea of Varnashrama Dharma is to attain the lotus feet of Krishna. There is an interesting conversation which is happening in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Text 15 onwards, and specifically the verse number 67. This conversation is essentially happening between Narad Muni and Yudhishthira Maharaj, and lot of principles of Grihastha Ashram are being discussed here. So Narad Muni is talking to Yudhishthira Maharaj and telling him that one should execute Varnashrama Dharma just to remain a devotee of Lord Krishna and not get digressed. Thus, he says that even at home, one will be able to reach the destination. Specifically, the verse says, Grihe api asya gatim yayat, which means even at home, one will be able to attain the destination. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, that since the ultimate goal is Vishnu or Krishna, either by performance of Vedic regulative practices or by dovetailing one's material activities, one must try to reach Krishna from any position of life. That is the perfection of life. Also, in Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1, Srila Prabhupada defines that ashram is one where spiritual culture is the foremost. Ashram is one where spiritual culture is the foremost, above anything else. So, this conversation or samvad between Narad Muni and Yudhishthira Maharaj talks quite a lot about Grihastha Ashram, very similar to what is happening in these verses between Lord Krishna and his disciple Uddhava. Now, Narad Muni and Yudhishthira Maharaj both are renounced personalities. Still they are talking this samvad. Neither are attached to Grihastha Ashram. Narad Muni was not a Grihastha, and Yudhishthira Maharaj was a Grihastha but never attached to Grihastha Ashram. In fact, what to speak of Yudhishthira Maharaj, the entire Pandavas, they were not attached to Grihastha Ashram. The Pandavas had accepted Grihastha Ashram just because they had the association of Lord Krishna always with them. In fact, the Praman or the proof for this is that as soon as Lord Krishna left the planet, immediately the Pandavas also left for the north. So they didn't battle an eyelid to take such a decision. It's very difficult for attached Grihasthas to just leave the home like that. In fact, it is said that even Draupadi and Kunti soon after left and perfected their lives. So, an interesting point if you see the lives of the Pandavas is, it is a story of one woman and five men. Right? So in Kali Yuga, if you see most of the Bollywood movies are centered around one woman and two men. Right? Most of Bollywood, Tollywood movies are all about that. You know, two men are after the same woman, and then who wins at the end of the day? And everyone buys tickets and then watches 3 hours. Right? So, but this is a story of one woman and five men. Now, despite the fact, one may wonder, how did these Pandavas not get into trouble with one another? Right? In fact, the reality of life is, even with one man, one woman, Grihastha Ashram becomes very difficult nowadays. Right? So, therefore, how did the Pandavas manage in this situation? So, the essence of the purports or the conversation between Narad Muni and Yudhishthira Maharaj, the essence what Srila Prabhupada derives is that they managed to have no conflicts because Lord Krishna was the center of their lives and not Draupadi. That is why they were able to avoid conflicts. And this is the main point which is, this is the chief advice which Srila Prabhupada gives to all Grihasthas. So the first conclusion is that Grihastha Ashram means not that the wife, children or anyone is the center of the life, but Lord Krishna is the center of the life for everyone in the family. And only when that happens can Grihastha Ashram be successful. So Grihastha Ashram otherwise in other sections of Srimad Bhagavatam is sometimes referred to as Andhakupam, a deep dark well. Because Grihastha Ashram is replete with attachment to families, relatives, expectations and so on and so forth. In fact, I was talking to one devotee 2-3 days back and he was mentioning to me that there is so much pressure from relatives in India. They are constantly worried about what you are doing here. Right? And inquiring with his parents, this devotee's parents, the other relatives are inquiring with him. Why your son has not purchased flat till now in Australia? Like that. So many others are purchased. So mother is also being bombarded with this. And then the mother is talking to the son. Whatever they are asking is correct. You know? Even you are in devotee community, other devotees have purchased flat. Why you have not purchased flat till now? So the devotee incidentally had purchased something. He had purchased the land and he is going to construct a flat. So when the mother apparently told the relatives about this, then the relatives started saying, no, what is there in constructing a flat in Australia? He has to construct something which we can see here. Then only we will, you know. The prestige is there. So no matter what you do, this prestige always eludes us in front of our relatives. So this Grihastha Ashram is an ashram which is replete with lot of these pressures. Specifically, you know, coming from a culture, from an Indian culture, it's more. In Western life, you know, it's relatively lesser. Pressure from relatives is relatively lesser. So, though this Grihastha Ashram is referred sometimes as Andhakupam, a deep dark well, Narad Muni is still glorifying this Grihastha Ashram. Even a renunciate of the order of Narad Muni is glorifying Grihastha Ashram. The same Narad Muni who gave advice to 11,000 Prachetas is giving a lighter dose to Maharaj Yudhishthira here. For example, you know, as you are aware that the Prachetas were brainwashed, so-called brainwashed by Narad Muni to go towards Grihastha Ashram, to go towards Brahmachari Ashram. Whereas in the conversation with Maharaj Yudhishthira, the same Narad Muni is continuously glorifying Grihastha Ashram. In fact, in the conversation between Narad Muni and Maharaj Yudhishthira, there is no advice like this here. That a Grihastha, there are some caveats in this verse. If you see, the caveats are, a householder should comfortably maintain his dependence, something coming through his own accords, honest execution of duties, performance of sacrifices. But when Maharaj Yudhishthira, when Narad Muni is speaking to Maharaj Yudhishthira, it is not having so many caveats. The reason is given that Maharaj Yudhishthira is already a self-realized soul. Not that Uddhava was not. Because we have to understand the context of Srimad Bhagavatam very differently. But there, in those sections, it is revealed like that Maharaj Yudhishthira was already a renounced soul. So therefore, he did not need these lofty caveats to be given by Narad Muni. So, the essence Srila Prabhupada brings out there is, Lord Krishna is not necessarily concerned with the ashram to which one belongs to. But Lord Krishna is more concerned with our devotional attitude. It is mentioned there again that Varanashrama Dharma in itself is not transcendental. What makes Varanashrama Dharma transcendental is the presence or absence of Krishna. Obviously, the presence of Krishna makes transcendental. Else, even leading a simple life has got absolutely no meaning. And it is mentioned that better to live a Krishna conscious life in the city rather than living a simple life in the countryside where there is no Krishna in our lives. Because the ultimate goal of life is to attain Lord Krishna. Grihe thako, vane thako, sada hari, bole thako. always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. These are the teachings of the Acharyas. So there is an interesting pastime from the life of Sant Tukaram, Saint Tukaram in Maharashtra. Some of you must be knowing that Saint Tukaram was highly detached person. He was a grihastha, but he was highly detached. And he was highly poverty stricken also. He had nothing in his house. And he was running what is popularly called as Tukaram business. It is said to a businessman, don't be like Tukaram if you want to succeed in your business. Because Tukaram used to sell some goods. And then he used to keep those goods. And then his wife used to tell him, why no money you have got? You went out full day, you sold some goods, but there is nothing you have got. So he said, no. Whoever wants comes, takes whatever they want. If Krishna as Paramatma comes in their hearts and tells them to give me something, then they will give me. This was the kind of attitude. This is called Tukaram business. So, Tukaram was already very poverty stricken. But, because of this attitude of his, this renunciation of his fame started spreading everywhere. So, at that time, Shivaji Maharaj was the king. Right? And all of you know, Shivaji Maharaj established the Maratha rule in Maharashtra. So Shivaji Maharaj one day heard of his glory and said, I want to meet this personality. So Shivaji Maharaj came with what is called as Nazrana. Nazrana means that he brought diamonds, gold and rubies and so on and so forth. Lots of that. And he brought it to the hut where Tukaram was staying with his wife. So Tukaram was not there in the house. So his wife received all that and immediately she started wearing Nazranas, all the necklace and jewelry and all that. So when Tukaram came home, he couldn't recognize his wife properly. Who is this personality? Like that. Okay. But eventually, she said that Maharaj Shivaji has given this Nazrana to me and that is what I am wearing now. So he said, immediately I want you to remove all these things. We don't need all these things in our life to be happy. And he was very upset with his wife. So he made her remove all that. Immediately he called for Shivaji Maharaj's ministers and he said, you take all this back, I don't want. So hearing this, Shivaji Maharaj came personally to meet him. And he heard this, he said, this is such a renunciate. And asked him, why did you do this? He said, I have something which is much, much more precious, which is bhakti towards Lord Vitthal, Pandurang. Which is much, much more precious than this Nazrana. I don't need this Nazrana to be happy in my life. So when Shivaji Maharaj heard this, immediately, it is said, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. Something happened in his heart and immediately he went to the palace and he spoke to his wife or mother? Jija Mata was what? Mother. Okay. So I am very poor with history, so please pardon me. Okay. So he spoke to his mother, Jija Mata, and he told her that I am going to leave this kingdom and I am going to go and surrender to Tukaram Maharaj. So he left his kingdom and he went to surrender to Tukaram Maharaj. And he came and lived with Tukaram Maharaj for some time. And during that time, Tukaram Maharaj gave him all instructions of bhakti. But at the end of the day, Shivaji Maharaj said, now, thank you very much for giving all this. Give me your final instruction. And what did Tukaram Maharaj tell him? He said, go now with all these principles and do your duty as a Kshatriya. Go back and administer the kingdom. He didn't say, become a Brahmachari and sit here. Right? So, even such a person as Tukaram Maharaj glorified the importance of Varnashrama Dharma or being doing one's duties in Krishna consciousness as a Kshatriya. So the whole idea, point is that if Krishna is in the center, then any ashram becomes genuine in itself. So in the conversation again between Narad Muni and Yudhishthira Maharaj, the eagerness to associate and hear from elevated sannyasis is underlined again and again. Yudhishthira Maharaj is in a very high position. We all know that. In a high position even materially because he was the ultimate king at that point in time. Plus also he had very high standards of bhakti. Yet we see that in his humility, Yudhishthira Maharaj is hearing humbly from Narad Muni how to get detached in those sections. Now, when Vidura was instructing Dhritarashtra, I think it was happening in the third canto, right? In the first sections of third canto. When was that? Is it third canto? Dhritarashtra leaves home. Was it first canto? Okay, sorry, I'm getting confused. Okay. So, when Dhritarashtra is, when Vidura was instructing Dhritarashtra, at that time it is mentioned that Maharaj Yudhishthira was probably more attentive than Dhritarashtra was. Ultimately, Dhritarashtra got the message from Vidura and he left home, But Maharaj Yudhishthir was taking these instructions to heart at the same time, Srila Prabhupada mentions. So that is the sign of his humility. Though he was already detached from Grihastashram, when Vidura was instructing, Maharaj Yudhishthir was very, very attentive. So it is said that for a Grihastha, it is very important to attentively hear from saintly persons and to also follow. Not hear from this year and then leave from this year. It's very important to follow also. So Srila Prabhupada also reiterated the performance of occupational duties in a mode of bhakti and service to Krishna for Grihasthas. And he said this is very important to go back to Godhead. There is a very interesting example from Srila Prabhupada's life. This is when the Juhu temple was being threatened, was being demolished. As you know, many of you must have seen the Abhay Charan serial, right? In that you know how when the devotees had built up a temporary kind of an altar outside and installed the deities, the politicians tried to break the altar. And in fact, the municipality was also given a written order saying that you go ahead and break this temple which ISKCON, which the devotees had built. So at that time, there was one Mr. Rathi who was there along with Srila Prabhupada. This Mr. Rathi, he was essentially a construction man. He was a builder. If you know, in Kali Yuga, in today's day and age, builders are the most corrupt in Bombay. But at that time, there were some good builders as well. So Mr. Rathi was a builder and he was very attached to Srila Prabhupada. So when he came to know that some people are trying to demolish this temple, immediately he told his son, get my gun and get my bullets. Because builders normally have this for protection. He said, get my gun and bullets, let's shoot all these people who are coming on the way. And when Prabhupada heard this, Prabhupada was extremely pleased with him. And Prabhupada said, this is real Kshatriya spirit. That he doesn't care whether he'll go to jail for another, 25 years or get a life imprisonment. But he's willing to remove that gun and bullet and kill for the sake of Krishna, for the sake of Srila Prabhupada's movement. And Prabhupada blessed him that I bless you that you will go back to Godhead in this very lifetime because of the Kshatriya spirit of yours. Simply because you showed this love for me. And then, as I said, that Srila Prabhupada gave him an instruction because he was a construction man. Srila Prabhupada told him, I want you to construct a house, nice living place for all the devotees. Because devotees who built the Juhu temple, they were living in very adverse circumstances, in small, small tents. So then Mr. Rathi started building these houses for these devotees. So when Srila Prabhupada saw that, he told Mr. Rathi that, Mr. Rathi, every brick that you lay for the devotees here, be assured that Krishna in Golok Vrindavan is building a brick, a house for you to, when you go back to live there. And Prabhupada told him that when you leave this body, I will personally come to the gates of Golok Vrindavan and receive you. So this is the kind of blessing Rathi got. And he was a grihastha, he was a builder. But something, Svalpam Apyasa Dharmasya Trayate Mahato Bhayat. Simple small thing he did for Srila Prabhupada and such a big blessing he got. So therefore, whether it is Grihastha or whether it is Brahmachari or any other ashram, the basic common thread in Varanashrama Dharma is sincerity of purpose. Desire to keep trying despite occasional fall down and obstacles. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur is a classic example. He had 9 children, which is, somebody will, make a mental offense saying that Acharya with 9 children. But the whole point is, if you look at it in another way, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur proved that even with 9 children, one can be a pure devotee. Sometimes, when we call devotees for programs, they'll say, I have my son, I have to take my daughter or my son for here, this program, that program. Therefore, I cannot do, whatever devotional service that I have to do. So many constraints Grihasthas impose upon themselves, just quoting their son or daughters, like that. Whereas Bhakti Vinod Thakur had 9 children. So with 9 children, he was doing everything and he was also excelling on his job at the same time. The Britishers built a special rail track for him. So excellence in job, excellence in managing family life. That is Grihasthashram. So he gave us a very high standard for Grihasthashram. In fact, his standards were so high that even a renunciate Babaji like Gaur Kishore Das Babaji used to hear his lectures. Hiding from there, like that. So, it doesn't matter whether one is a sannyasi or whether one is a grihastha. And Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur was specifically great because through his principles, he surrendered everything to Krishna. Manaso deha geho yo kichuna mor Arpilu Tuvapade Nandakishor. So everything, Manasa, Deha, Bhava, everything was surrendered to Krishna. And that is the second conclusion, second instruction which Srila Prabhupada gives to Grihasthas, that use everything in the service of Lord Krishna. Keep Lord Krishna in the center, first conclusion. Second, use everything in the service of Lord Krishna. Because the distinction between material and spiritual is only for conditioned souls. For Lord Krishna, everything is spiritual at the end of the day. The third instruction for Grihasthas is to leverage the Grihastha ashram and preach without distinction. In fact, if you see the life of Narad Muni, Narad Muni himself did not distinguish. He preached to even Mrugari, the hunter. And he also preached to Kayadu, who was the wife of Hiranyakashipu. He preached to the wives of demons also, like that. And not only that, he was preaching to the child in the womb also. And in fact, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is not much history of Prahalad Maharaj having met Narad Muni. Anyone has heard this past time? Prahalad Muni meeting. Dhruva Maharaj we know, but not Prahalad Maharaj and Narad. There is not much history of samvad, conversation between Prahalad Maharaj and Narad Muni. Still, when Prahalad Maharaj came out of the womb, at the age of 5, he started reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. He started reciting the highest in that spirituality can offer. So that is the power of Narad Muni. He can even preach to the child within the womb. So he does not distinguish whether it is a lady, whether it is a child, whether it is a hunter. No distinction. Lord Rama himself did not distinguish one devotee from the other. Lord Rama accepted fruit which was offered by Shabri. She herself tasted the fruit and gave it to Lord Rama, which is against the principles of Vaidhi Bhakti. But still, Lord Rama accepted that gesture of love from Shabri. Shabri was actually a mystic. She was a forest woman. So he accepted her. Lord Ram accepted service from monkeys, the foremost being Sri Hanuman. Right? In fact, when the Ram Setu bridge was being built and all the stones were being laid and they were floating, at that time all the Vanar Sena were working very hard to build that bridge. And then Hanumanji noticed that there was a small squirrel which was there, and that squirrel was trying to pluck some mud with its small hands and put it in the water. And Hanumanji went there and told the squirrel, "Oh, please get out from here. You know, what are you doing here? You are doing something important." And when Lord Ram heard this, he chastised Hanuman. He said that you are doing capacity as per your ability. Squirrel is doing some service as per its ability. So we should learn to respect everyone's ability and whatever little things that they are doing for Krishna. So for Grihasthas, in fact for all ashrams, this is very important. But the point here is that Grihastha should also preach and cultivate without distinction. Lord Chaitanya himself did not distinguish. At the forest of Jharkhand, you know, we know that, what is that poem? Pashu Pakhi Jure Pashana Vidhare Suniyare Guna Gatha Nitaya Gaura Chandar. So, Pashu Pakshi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself did not distinguish between human being and animals and birds, and he gave equal mercy to all. In fact, in Gola Vrindavan too, there is Grihasthashram. Gola Vrindavan is full of Grihasthashram, is it not? Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mother, Gopas, it's all Grihasthashram only at the end of the day. I haven't heard of, you know, Sanyasi Ashram in Gola Vrindavan till now. Right? So that is the glory of Grihasthashram. So as Grihasthas, one can prepare oneself for a service in Gola Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada mentions about his father very often. Srila Gaur Mohande, he said that my father was a pure devotee of Lord Krishna. Though we all know that Srila Gaur Mohande was a householder, Grihastha, till the very end of his life. And Srila Prabhupada sometimes used to say, "I think he knew." Once Srila Prabhupada said, "I think he knew." And Srila Prabhupada stopped. He didn't say anything further. But later on, devotees came to know that Srila Prabhupada wanted to say, "I think he knew what I am going to do in the future. So therefore, my father never chastised me like that." Because he said that my father was a pure devotee. He knew who I was. And Srila Prabhupada also said that since my childhood, whenever I used to wake up, I used to see my father. By the time I wake up, he was always in front of the deities doing worship. Till the night when I used to sleep, still my father was in front of the deities and doing deity worship. So he said, "I wondered sometimes what is his occupation." His real occupation was bhakti, and going to work was only a side occupation, like that. So that is the mood of Grihasthas. And yesterday Bhakta Prabhu also mentioned, Bhakta Prabhu gave a very nice class yesterday. He mentioned to all the Grihasthas that our main occupation should be bhakti, and incidentally, you know, we are going to work. So we should not give undue importance to our professional life and jeopardize our spiritual life. So householder or sannyasi, the main point is whatever activities we perform must lead to rati or love for Krishna. Right? Dharma sva anushita pumsam vishvaksena katasuyaha na utpadiya gariratim shrama evahi kevalam. If rati does not come, whatever occupational duties we may perform as a part of our varna and ashram, then that is simply useless labor. This is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya, in fact, accepted all types of devotees. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord himself, was very expert in giving instructions to different kind of devotees based on their ashram and inclinations. So, Ramakrishna Prabhu, who had come from Pune last week, he had mentioned an interesting point in our Bhakti Vriksha. He said that Lord Chaitanya gave different instructions to Raghunandan Thakur, to Narahari Sarkar and to Mukunda Sarkar. To Raghunandan Thakur, he said, you must do deity worship. To Narahari Sarkar, he said, you must preach. And to Mukunda Sarkar, he said, you must earn material as well as spiritual assets. So, three different instructions, three different pure devotees of the Lord. So, the Lord is happy as long as we serve Him according to our best capacity, based upon our propensities. But as long as we remain ignorant of this principle in spiritual life, we may develop misconceptions on the relative supremacy of different ashramas. For example, few years back, there was a youth program which was happening in Pune, and His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Maharaj was there. And during that, one 17-year-old boy went and asked Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj, Maharaj, how can we do bhakti in grihastha ashram? This was his question to Bhakti Vikas Maharaj. To which Bhakti Vikas Maharaj gave an interesting reply. He said, your question is wrong. Why are you asking question in this way? How can I do bhakti in grihastha ashram? Ask first, how can I do bhakti? And once you get an answer of how you can do bhakti and you learn how you can do bhakti, it is just incidental that you are in grihastha ashram. That's all. Then if you have any trouble after having a wife and children in doing bhakti, you come back and ask me this question after that. How we can do bhakti in grihastha ashram. So if we know this basic principle, we can understand the importance of grihastha ashram in its real sense. And we will not make any mistakes. Neither we will think that grihastha ashram is a lower ashram than other ashrams, nor will we go to the other extreme and we will succumb to the common misconception that householder duty means simply taking care of family and nothing else. Again, from the life of Tukaram, Saint Santa Tukaram, he was a very elevated personality, but his wife was not, you know, so equal to him in one sense. Okay, so what happened was, at the end of the lifetime, we all heard this pastime of Tukaram Maharaj before, that Vaikuntha Viman, Mahavishnu himself sent Vaikuntha. He was a Vaikuntha mood bhakta, in awe and reverence. So Mahavishnu sent Vaikuntha Viman outside his house, chariot was standing like that. And Tukaram Maharaj saw that and he went running out. He said, chariot has come from Vaikuntha, I am going. And then suddenly as he left, just like, you know, Dhruva Maharaj thought about his mother, right? Was it Dhruva Maharaj who thought about his mother?
Yes.
Yeah. My mother is also there. Like that, Tukaram Maharaj thought about his wife. But my wife has assisted me so much in being a devotee. So out of his compassion, he thought about his wife. And he ran inside the hut and he told his wife, Vaikuntha Viman has come. Please come. Both of us can go. And his wife said, no, no, I cannot come with you. I have to take care of the buffaloes. That was her reply. Okay. So therefore, this is the type 2 error which grihasthas can make. Type 1 means considering grihasthas as lower ashram. That is also wrong. But simply considering grihastha ashram, taking care of buffaloes and cows and family, that is also a misconception. So by proper understanding from the shastras, this misconception will go away. Now what is the main challenge? And this is the last part of our class today. What is the main challenge in becoming a householder? That is the false attachment that we develop to our family, which is an example which we saw earlier. And this false attachment to family ruins the spiritual life in grihastha ashram. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, text 14, sorry, 7th canto, chapter 14, text 13, it says, through proper deliberation, please hear carefully, this is for grihasthas, through proper deliberation, one should give up attraction to his wife's body. Through proper deliberation, one should give up attraction to his wife's body Because that body will ultimately be transformed into small insects, stool or ashes. What is the value of this insignificant body? How much greater is the Supreme Being who is all pervading like the sky? So I heard in the lecture recently that when people are newly married, no, always the husband and wife want privacy with one another. No, I want some private moments with my husband. No? And they take all opportunity to go out together, go to honeymoon, this moon, that moon, no? All those things for private moments. So there is something interesting from Adi Shankara's Bhaja Govindam. Okay? And this Bhaja Govindam, this verse says, Yavat Pavano Nivasati Dehe Tavat Prichati Kushalam Gehe Gatavati Vayu Deha Paye Bharya Bibhyati Tasmin Kaye. It says, when one is alive, his family members inquire kindly about his welfare. But when the soul departs from the body, even his wife runs away in fear of the corpse. All this for honeymoon. Even the wife runs away when the husband is dead, you know, fearing the corpse. Okay. So, there was a recent incident which I heard in Bombay, in the terrorist shootout, one of the boys who is coming for the program, both his parents went out to the balcony when the terrorists were shooting with their AK-47 rifle. And when the terrorists saw them standing in the balcony, obviously, you know, they don't have any sense. They immediately turned the AK-47 gun towards his parents, old parents, and then shot them, both of them. Many bullets went through the body, but one bullet went through the head of his parents. And the devotees were speaking, and obviously they died. And he was mentioning that it was very difficult for me to see my parents. He said, just like a pumpkin bursts open, you know, the head of his parents had burst open like that. And he said, this is the irony of life. Those parents who I used to see in flesh and blood till 5 minutes back, like a pumpkin, they were lying down. That is the nature of the body. So it's very bewildering. And it's very difficult to at that time think that you are not the body. The parents were not the body. They were the spirit soul, which can never be killed with any bullet. But when we are faced with this situation, it's a true test of our realizations. Or it is just jnana. It's just on the theoretical platform. So that is something about the body. So attachment to the body can give can cause a lot of miseries to any ashram, specifically the grihastha ashram. Now what is the problem in being attached is explained again in Bhaja Govindam, in another verse. It says, Balasthavat Krida Shaktaha, Tarunasthavat Taruni Shaktaha, Vriddhasthavat Chinta Shaktaha, Pare Brahmani Kaopina Shaktaha. It says, the entire childhood of a human being, of a conditioned soul, is lost in playfulness with toys. Entire childhood is lost. Entire youth is lost in attachment and attraction to women. Old age passes in thinking over many past things. Alas, hardly is there anyone who yearns to be lost in the Supreme Lord. The whole life has passed now, like that. So, Lord Shankaracharya reveals the solution to this attachment in a very nice prayer in Bhaja Govindam. This verse, Lord Shankaracharya, Srila Prabhupada said, was a covered personalist. Because Lord Shankaracharya, Adi Shankaracharya is who? He is none other than Lord Shiva, who came to preach Mayavadam Asat Shastram. But he is none other than Vaishnavayanam Yatha Shambhu, the highest Vaishnava. So, Adi Shankara tells a very nice verse to overcome this particular attachment to family life. So, I will just sing briefly that particular verse. And many of you, if you know that, please sing along with me. It says, Bhagavad Gita Kinchita Dita Ganga Jalalava Kanika Pita Sakrida Pigena Murari Samarcha Kriyate Tasya Manena Nacharcha Bhaja Govindam Bhaja Govindam Bhaja Govindam Bhaja Govindam Govindam Bhaja Mudhamate. So, this is Bhaja Govindam, Govindam Bhaja Mudhamate. This is the solution. He says, Bhagavad Gita Kinchita Dita, which means Kinchita means what? Little bit. Open the Bhagavad Gita and read. If you want to cultivate this detachment. Bhagavad Gita, Kinchita Dita. Ganga Jalalava Kanika Pita. Go to the Ganga and take one kern out of that. One atomic particle of the Ganges. Drink and worship the Ganges. Sakridapiyena Murari. Sakridapiyena. Little bit worship the killer of the demon, Mura. Which is Murari, Lord Krishna. Little bit worship Lord Krishna. And then he says, Kriyate tasya manena na charcha. Which means what? Kriyate tasya manena charcha. You will not have any charcha or conversation with Lord Yama at the time of death. No meeting with Yamraj at the time of death. Little bit Bhagavad Gita, little bit Ganges water, and little bit service to Lord Krishna. No need of looking at Lord Yama at the end of this lifetime. Okay. So, the basic principle of material attraction is, the solution to that is given by Lord Adi Shankaracharya. Now, the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 5th chapter, 8th verse is also very profound in giving us the reason for this attachment. It says, Pumsah Striya Maithuni Bhavametam Tayor Mitho Hridaya Granti Ahum Atho Grihas Kshetra Sutapta Vittayar Janasya Mohoyam Aham Mameti. And Keshav Prabhu many times hammers us this Aham Mameti principle in our Bhakti Vaibhav course. This is that verse. I was looking, which is this Aham Mameti verse? It's there in the 5th canto. And it's a very, very powerful translation. Please hear carefully. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. And there are some very good examples. One example which I recently heard, this is from the New Testament of the Bible. It talks about a story in the 11th century BC between Samson and Delilah. So Samson, as you know, if many of you may be knowing this figure, he was basically a very strong personality. Very strong personality. He had mystic powers. And this Samson, he single-handedly defeated the entire army with the jawbone of an ass. Can you believe that? An army coming and attacking him with the jawbone of an ass. Like Bruce Lee, you know, was defeating, you know, so many people that day. The Japanese, you know, karate camp. So like that, this Samson was so powerful. In fact, an example of his power was that he strangled a lion with his bare hands. So you can imagine how powerful this person was. Now, this story in the New Testament is how he lost all his power. And where did it start with? Not the hair. Where did it start with? It started with the association of a woman. Attraction to a woman. Because, yeah, Delilah. So what happened? His enemies sent Delilah to him. And Samson slowly started getting attracted to Delilah. Physically so powerful, but mental weakness towards the opposite sex. So when Delilah came, gradually she started befriending Samson. And then one day, in an intimate moment, she said, Samson, what is the source of your strength? And he said, all the source of my strength is in my hair. Immediately the Philistines captured him and cut off his hair. And he came and he was imprisoned. Of course, later on, what the Philistines did not realize is that his hair has started growing back. Okay? And by that time, they had tied him to the palace. And the story goes that Samson's hair grew back and he became again very powerful. But this time what happened? He was tied to the pillar, and when he released himself from the pillar, the entire pillar crashed, and because he was so powerful, the entire palace crashed. So not only, you know, all the enemies got killed, but Samson also perished in that. Okay. So this is how a very strong person who could have done great things in history loses everything just because of one mental weakness towards a woman. Okay. This is the story of Samson. Okay. Maharaj Pandu is yet another case in point. Maharaj Pandu was already a highly detached king. In fact, he most of the time, you know, he was not in the kingdom. He used to live in the forest. He was already very detached. Okay. But even when he was meditating in the forest and living a life of asceticism, okay, sorry, I'm not able to pronounce it. He wanted to be an ascetic. Yeah. So even when he wanted to live such a life, one day in his meditation, he saw two deers mating with one another. And then you know what happened. He took a bow and arrow and he shot. And when they were mating, they were none other than Kindama Rishi. They were rishis who were mating. And then Pandu got this curse saying that you shot us when we were mating. And your end, your the nemesis will come for you when you are mating. Okay. So Pandu took this instruction, this curse very seriously. Because he was highly realized. So he said that I take a vow of celibacy from now. Obviously, no, I don't, out of virtue as well as out of fear, he took that. Okay. So, he said, from today onwards, I'll give up my anger and I'll practice brahmacharya, very strong brahmacharya. Okay. And he lived like that until one day, he had an intimate time with Kunti and Madri. Both of them came to him and in a weak moment, he succumbed. And the moment he succumbed, he lost his life. That is King Pandu. So, even though we know this again and again, still, if our sadhana is not very good, we can fall down from any platform. Any time, the attraction for opposite sex. None of us are totally insulated till we come to the platform of prema bhakti. So this is a very dangerous line. We have to remember this. Vishwamitra Muni, 60,000 years of tapasya and one ankle bell destroyed everything. Right? And there is an interesting story which I heard recently from Bhaktivedanta Manor. This happened, this is a true incident which happened in Bhaktivedanta Manor. There was a girl who used to, a young girl who used to come to the temple in England. And one day, the girl started revealing her past life to the devotees. They asked, what is your past life? She said, in the past life, I was a brahmachari. This girl said, in the past life, I was a brahmachari attached to the temple. And though I was a brahmachari for many, many years, I always had this soft corner for this girl. You know. Somewhere in the mind, there was a soft corner for some girl which was there. And because of that, in this lifetime, I am born as this girl. So he said, any praman for this? He said, yes. They went to a house. She showed them a house. And that is where that girl used to live, on whom this brahmachari used to meditate. And when they opened the door, they found that this girl had exactly the same features as that girl. Okay. And then she revealed, Yam Yam Vapi Smaran Bhavan Tyajanti Kalevaram Tam Tam Eva Kaunteya Tada Sad Yad Bhavi Bhavitaha. Right? At whatever state one at the time of death, that state one attains without fail. Like, okay. And later on, what happened? This girl, obviously now in this lifetime, she is a Western, she is an Indian girl actually, born in UK, like that. So her parents started arranging an alliance for her. But in this lifetime, she was attracted to a Westerner. Okay. And the parents were opposing. Okay. When the parents opposed, you are marrying a Westerner, she gave an interesting quote, Shastra, to them. She said, what Westerner? What Indian? Last lifetime I was a Western brahmachari. This time I am an Indian girl. I was a male last time. This time a female. So I am not this body. So please allow me to marry. So this was reverse philosophy. But the point is attraction to a woman can lead us to another lifetime. So grihasthashram, we have to be very, very careful not to get too attached. So unless we take to the process of bhakti through the association of saintly persons, we cannot overcome this attachment. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayajitaha Janayati Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayad Ahetukam. So when we take to the process of devotional service, Janayati Asu Vairagyam, very fast, what will come? Jnanam will also come and Vairagyam will also come. Detachment as well as knowledge will automatically manifest. But this attraction to Lord Krishna has to be there. Otherwise, with forcefully, we cannot remove the attraction to opposite sex from our hearts. The pastime is of Lord Ramanujacharya and his disciple Dhanurdas. When initially Dhanurdas met Lord Ramanujacharya, there was a procession of Lord Ranganatha going on the streets. And Ramanujacharya was leading that procession. But he saw this Dhanurdas. At that time, Dhanurdas was not Dhanurdas. He was somebody else. So he was a Karmi. So when everybody was watching Lord Ranganatha's beauty, Dhanurdas was watching one lady all the time. And his eyes were fixed on the eyes of that lady. So Ramanujacharya was extremely upset. Okay. Then he called this fellow. He said, where are you watching? Lord Ranganatha's pastime is going on and you are looking at this woman all the time. So Dhanurdas told him that her eyes are so captivating that I cannot take my eyes away from her. She is so beautiful and I am a connoisseur of beauty. So Lord Ramanuja, so Ramanujacharya told him, if I show you eyes more beautiful than these eyes, will you stop your attraction for this lady? He said yes. And then the pastime is Lord Ramanujacharya takes him to the main altar where the main deity of Lord Ranganath is there, and then through the aarti he gradually moves from the feet and then he shows the eyes of Lord Ranganath. And when Dhanurdas sees the eyes of Lord Ranganath, immediately all his attraction to that lady goes away. And then what happens? He leaves the brahmachari after that. What happens? No! Ramanujacharya tells him, now you marry that lady. And he himself arranges marriage with that lady. Because now Ramanujacharya knows that his heart is purified. So it doesn't matter that he is a grihastha. So his attraction for his wife is no longer on the bodily platform. And this pastime, and there are many pastimes of Dhanurdas and his wife, how they served Lord Ramanujacharya. In fact, through their pastimes, they gave instructions to brahmacharis how to live. So that is, I'm not going to elaborate it because now we are just having two more minutes. So only by attraction to Lord Krishna can we overcome this attraction to the opposite sex. So Srila Prabhupada often used to quote his own father. He said that when my marriage was being arranged, I wanted to marry somebody else. Srila Prabhupada actually wanted to marry some other woman, but his father had already arranged, seen this girl for him. So when Prabhupada went to his father said, you marry this girl, okay, not that girl who you want. So Srila Prabhupada said, okay. And his father said, it's actually very good that you are not marrying the girl who you want to marry, because you will remain detached in grihasthashram always. It's good for your spiritual life. And Prabhupada said, that was a very important instruction, because that enabled me to leave my house when my wife sold Bhagavatam copies for coffee powder. Tea powder, huh? Okay. Okay. So this attachment to devotees and to the Lord and to the Lord's devotees is the only way that we can overcome our attachment to our grihasthashram, right? So otherwise, even being a householder, we will not understand the importance of Lord Krishna's glories. So to conclude, to cut the knots of material attachment, one needs positive engagement in Krishna consciousness, whether it is grihasthashram or whether it is any other ashram. One needs positive engagement in Krishna consciousness for hridaya granthi abhedanam, cutting the knots of material attachment, and that is the path to success in any ashram, be it vanaprastha or brahmachari or grihastha or any other ashram. So that is the success formula which Srila Prabhupada continuously hammers in several sections of the Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll stop here. Svantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions, comments, corrections? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.